Jay Ellis wrote some lyrics. Oh, yeah, maybe I should pull them up. If I can pull them up in time. He wrote lyrics for this. Maybe I can sing them right here for you. And they go a little something like this. Cue the sniper, girl. Go on and give a twirl. I feel like there's a symbol there. I've got you in my crosshairs. I don't know how that. One shot, I bet you're scared. Lyrics by Jay Ellis. But Jay Ellis is not with us today. You have not heard the melodious
dulcet
tones of this person in a long time. You guys don't even know. In the meanwhile, since you've heard him, he's gotten in a fight with me, quit the show, and come back multiple times.
It's the one,
the only, Mr. Roberto Mata. Hello, Robert. How are you?
Hi, Joe. I'm swell, but I have to apologize in advance. You know, you're going through another one of those atmospheric rivers, is it called?
Oh, yeah.
So My audio quality probably isn't the best, as my monopolistic internet service provider continues to give me shit quality Wi-Fi.
I'm not going to lie. You've sounded better than ever. You've never sounded so good.
That's a lie. You're so full of shit.
No, I swear to God. This is the best. At least in my ears, is the best you've ever sounded.
Huh.
Yeah. Part two, and I'm going to fade the music out for this. I have a solution for what you're talking about, but I'm going to cut it out. It's boring to the general audience.
Sure.
I'm going to get the music out. It's hard to take me out of the music. All right. I already helped. Now, I helped Robert with his little problem, and so now we get back to the show. Now, by the way, for quality content, like me helping Robert with his audio, you want to go to patreon.com/afterthoughtmedia. Join there. You get this show early, no commercials. Often, it's a longer show. Patreon gets a longer, unedited show. Well, it's edited, but like sometimes there are segments, you know, that I'm like, I don't know if I want to put that in the public feed. And they get like sometimes 10, 15 minutes extra, sometimes half an hour, depends on what happens. So if you want all that, go to patreon.com/afterthoughtmedia, and we will deliver that content to you. But first, let's welcome back Robert Mata. I have been dying to talk to you for one reason. By the way, Robert and I barely talk outside this. I am dying to hear your nerdy takes on this season so far. Now, we are going to talk about this episode, but I don't know if you have some nerdy takes to discuss right now.
Well, to be entirely honest, this is probably the more nerdy Drag Race perspective, but I've kind of forgotten that season 16 is happening because all of my attention's being devoted to UK versus the World 2 and Espanol All-Stars.
Oh, so you're watching Espanol All-Stars
right now. Oh, yeah, I fucking love it. Its judgment is questionable, or judging, rather. But either way, whenever I'm in that Spanish workroom virtually, I feel at peace. So I love it.
But let's get back to the U.S.
Yes, so 16.
You're watching season 16.
Well, of course. I'm not really watching live.
I felt badly. Yesterday, Robert and I were texting, and I full-on just assumed Robert had watched. And I was just talking and giving away who the top bottom two were and who went home and all that. And Robert's like, I haven't watched it yet.
But my perspective on that was just that I think it's so funny how people say random names in crazy scenarios, and I can just take it at face value and say, yeah, Maya did flip naked onto the judge's table while Geneva Carr performed gravity-defying moves. And I'm like, sure, if that's what you said happened, that's what happened. Obviously, that's not what happened. It was a pretty by-the-numbers episode, I thought.
Yeah. Now, I have some takes here. This is what's great to have you here, because sometimes I do this by myself. And I have to like basically talk to no one, but I have notes that either I didn't go into enough, or I want to get your take on them, or I want to say more about them, or I didn't say them at all. One of the things I want to get to is I brought this up on the show and I felt like it went nowhere for whatever reason, but there's a part where Plain Jane is like, only one immunity potion bottle left. And she's like, and I'm like, why does it matter how many immunity potion bottles there are? Do you have an answer for this?
Well, I would love for Plain to keep her immunity potion because I think it gives her a guaranteed interaction with Rue every week. And that's probably worth its weight in gold, right?
That's a very
good doesn't have to split point. Attention with Saphira now.
Yes. That is a very good point. And that's a good way of looking. I never thought about that. It gives her a chance even to make a wisecrack, you know?
She is the immunity queen, the potions master at the present time. Severus,
she's a very controversial queen, and we have yet to hear. What is your take on her? Do you like her?
I am, like, strangely hyper-neutral about her. I'm fine with her presence on the show. I wish she was a better cunt than what she is, but I also, she doesn't enrage me, I think, the way other people get upset by her.
Yeah. I flip.
But I don't stand her either.
I used to be enraged, but now I kind of stand. Kind of stand.
Okay.
Kind of.
Well, she's good at drag. Objectively.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, what about this other one who's very polarizing, very controversial? There's actually a few in this season, but the one I'm talking about is the Queen of the Week, Plasma. Do you have a hot take on Plasma?
Just that I watched every fucking episode of Glee, and I don't think I could be more annoying about that than Plasma is about everything that involves musical theater. It is what it is. I don't have as much vitriol towards musical theater and its fandom like, say, Dawn.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also not my exact realm, you know?
Yeah.
She's a little hyperactive, though. Has she taken any Xanax lately? Probably not.
No, she probably can't get access to it. But, she's very neurotic. Like, she's a lot. Like, the way she was fretting about this episode and hemming and hawing and go over, which is very, by the way, on track. I don't know what I'm trying to say. On brand, thank you, for musical theater queens. But it's so much. It's a lot. If you're a lot in a room of drag queens, that's saying a lot, you know?
That is true. Maybe this is vicious and vindictive, but I don't really see her as a drag queen.
Oh, interesting.
I see her more as a stage performer who is occasionally in drag.
Yeah.
She doesn't seem like someone who can command the stage at 2 a.m. at a dive bar.
Yes.
Or even a nice bar. She's like, she's a kid.
I'd be very interested to see, like, if they did a Lollapalooza, how she would do in a Lollapalooza.
I actually didn't really think that her lip syncing was very tight on this Rusical, so I was confused by all the positive critiques.
I thought it was good. That's interesting. Okay. Well, you know,
it could be my Wi-Fi fucking around again.
Who knows? But you know, you've provided me a great segue, which is I want to talk about Megami. Megami got some really rough critiques, was in the bottom, and then eventually went home. And we'll get to the lip sync in a little bit. But did you happen to clock Megami during the performance? You know, I watched it a couple of times, but did you clock her at all? Or
just that she always sort of looks morose.
Mm-hmm.
But so I don't really want to watch her more than I have to.
Yeah. Well, I watched her twice because, you know, I watched it once. So I knew to watch for her when I watched a second time. And I thought, and I said this on the show, she was fine. At least in the edit that we saw, I didn't see any evidence of her, you know, being one note or anything. She gave reactions. She didn't have the same face. But the point I bring this up is I forgot to bring this up on the show. I pulled the clip for the last episode, forgot to bring it up, of Michelle's critique, the one that's going to, you know, really the final strike, you know, on Megami. And it even the first time, and then I made sure to listen the second time, it made zero sense to me. And I want you to listen. It's not very long.
I feel like I get one look, and I'm not talking about your drag. I'm talking about your face. It's the same point of view all the time. So if you're doing a different character like you were this time, it shouldn't be the same as your down and out fairy or Statue of Liberty. Even tonight in this, it's the same face, same delivery. I want you to let the drag deliver the personality.
What the fuck does that mean?
It's word salad.
It is. It's like, it's, we know we're going to put you in the bottom, so now I have to make up some weird ass shit to justify why you're in the bottom. Because it makes no sense. I if she's talking about makeup, it doesn't make sense because Dawn has the same fucking makeup all the time, as do several girls.
As does Morphine, who I love now.
Oh, yeah. A lot of people are loving
so
Morphine.
So does Jane. Jane has the, everyone has the signature mug. That's the point.
No. That's what I'm saying. And then I don't know what she's talking about, like the same look. And then they show, look, any editor can pull someone having the same actual look on their face at any moment because you're going to have many looks on your face. That's what I was looking for the second time. And she had a variety of expressions on her face. So I don't know what Michelle is talking about. And you're right. It's a word salad meant to just sort of be there. It didn't make any sense whatsoever. And I wanted to ask about that. Now let's get to that lip sync before we go to the break. Thoughts on the lip sync? You know, I made a sort of statement that I want to actually sort of clarify after you're done. But what was your take on that lip sync to Flowers by Miley Cyrus?
Ultimately, that I thought Megami was attempting to do the Latrice Royale Natural Woman lip sync, but didn't fully have the gravitas to pull that off. I didn't think she did a bad lip sync, though. But Amala Page is a powerhouse in the performance category. So what are you going to do?
Yeah, that was sort of my take. My take was, you know, the problem is, and if you take musical theater classes, as
I have not.
Is there's a narrative arc in a song. And so she started off with the right emotion behind the song. But then once you hit the chorus, the mood of the song and the point of view of the song changes. Not the actual point of view, it's a different, same Miley Cyrus. But it goes from like, oh, I'm a sad person to I'm an empowered person. And I didn't need that. I don't need that. And she just never changed that. She was always in that sad place. And so there was no story with, she had the same face the entire time on the song. You know what? Maybe I'm trying to get Michelle's take here. Now, I will say, and this is what I want to clarify, is I said anyone could have beat Maya on the lip sync. And I think Evan took it, interpreted it as I meant like anyone in the world. I meant anyone in that cast. Had they gone against her instead of Megami, probably could have beat her. Have beat her. Maybe even Dawn.
Because I'm very suspicious about this, Josito.
I'll tell you why. I think Maya was doing too much. Like, why did she need to do that pussy slide across the stage?
They could have edited it that way. Absolutely.
Okay.
I don't know, but I wasn't mad at it. It gave the bar a chance to applaud.
Were you at the bar when you... No, you weren't at the bar. You watched it at home.
No, I wasn't, but I imagine they were applauding. I mean, I was at the bar, I was not at a Drag Race viewing party bar that night.
Yeah. I will say, next week is Snatch Game. My prediction, she's not going to do very well in Snatch Game. I don't know, but that's just what I know. She doesn't have the charisma. You know, she has, like, maybe the UT, you know, actually just the T.
I was going to say, I don't know what's particularly unique about her, but
yeah,
I do think that her shy fourth child energy is kind of appealing to a lot of people currently.
It is, but when you're on Snatch Game, like I talked about this on the show, if she chose a celebrity that also was like that, then it would be actually, and like we know, I think Evan nailed it. If she did that Cher impression, which I know it's too late to do, that would be amazing, you know, but I don't think she has the self-awareness to do that. I think she's going to do something like that she thinks is wild because she thinks of herself as a wild, out-of-control drag queen, which I don't think she is. Let's do this, Robert. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, we have a topic to talk about. People have been waiting, chomping at the bit for me to talk to you about this topic. And we are going to talk about it right after the break.
Goodness.
We're back. Robert Mata, everyone has been dying to hear about this because...
What is it?
Now, this is not true, what I'm going to tell you. But there were several people, including our friend C. Ochoa, Christian Ochoa.
Oh, God. Here we go.
He calls me when this episode... Not this episode, a couple episodes ago.
Mm-hmm.
He called me and said, you were talking about Robert, weren't you? When I said that there are queens in West Hollywood.
Westwood.
yeah, Westwood. They go to UCLA.
They're at UCLA undergrad, for sure. Yeah. Anderson B School.
And they go to the Fox Theater to watch, whatever movie.
Who the fuck goes to the Fox Theater? But anyway.
Me, a nerd, a cinephile like me. Anyway, party. I would have totally gone to the Fox Theater if I went
to UCLA. Come on, Criterion Queen.
Oh, for 100%. You don't think she is?
I know.
Anyway.
I know you are a Sound of Music stan, and I wanted to ask you that if I was on the main episode. Really?
I've only seen it once.
Got it. I don't know anything about The Sound of Music, regrettably, because I recognize it's a tentpole film.
Yeah,
but to your original point, sorry, I am diverging.
My original point was, anyway, so on some episode, I said something along the lines of, you can never find a WeHo queen because they all deny that they're WeHo queens, but they're all WeHo's form, all these WeHo queens. Even if you said it, doesn't matter. I repeated it on a recent episode.
Yes.
And Christian called me and said, you were talking about Robert. And other people were like, Joe was totally talking about Robert Mata.
Can you play the clip back? I don't know that I've heard this.
I don't have to pull. I didn't pull it. It's on some episode. It exists. I mean, just, I can't hide
sure,
behind
sure,
it
sure,
there.
Sure, sure, sure.
So here's the deal. Well, that wasn't the topic, though. The topic was about what I was talking about. It was in the bigger topic of the Mean Girls. Oh, I think it might have been Rulaska Thoughts when I did that big Rulaska Thoughts thing. With the Mean Girls. And that on that episode, it was Q, Amanda, and Dawn. We know which one. It was the one where they bullied Plasma into not being one of... It was the SNL episode. When they bullied her into not being on the desk bit, the mm-hmm. news bit. Uh-huh. And I did a Rulaska Thoughts that week about, maybe this week or the following week, I don't know when, about mean gays. And how I've been...
You in the locker room?
Me in the theater locker room. At the theater in high school, and I was such a fucking bully. And I said this on the last episode.
I don't remember you claiming to be a bully.
Oh my God.
I remember you claiming that you evaded the bullies successfully, not that you participated in bullying behavior. No.
The oppressed often become the oppressor. I know. No, I said both.
Oh, that's so for that damn was, sure.
I avoided the bullies by just literal sheer by being having the letter B start with my last name start with B. And all the cool kids, at least in my class, their names started with B. And so they got to know me. But when it came to theater, I didn't know this at the time. Let me tell a quick story. So there was a kid. there was a kid who I thought was my friend. I literally thought was my friend. And he was this skinny, very femme, half Japanese, half white boy. Okay. Like super skinny, rail thin. Okay. Timothy Chalamet skinny.
Don't make me upset.
He was very cunty like I was. And because he was very smart, we often had classes together. And I just pulled a Robert Mata there. And we would often, we'd sat on opposite sides of the room, but we would make fun of people with our eyes and like look and make fun of if someone was talking, we would laugh and stuff like that. So in my head, we weren't the best of friends, but we were good Jews.
Girls.
Yeah, we were girls.
Before we called each other girls.
Yes. Years later, I'm probably 23. I just joined the Magic Castle, 22. Okay.
So some an friends early admission?
I got an early admission to the Magic Castle. Some girlfriends and I were having dinner at the Magic Castle, and someone said, oh my God, I think Lance is here.
Lance Bass is there.
Lance Bass was there. That's right. And so we get up and we find him, and he's about to walk into that main theater, that big stage theater.
Mm-hmm.
And we catch him, and we're like, Lance, and he stops, and he's like very shaken up, okay? Like you can tell, like bothered. And he's talking to us. He's nice. He's chatting with us, but he's like, you can tell visibly nervous. And his mommy comes out and is like, are you okay? And he's like, no, I'm fine. And then he goes, well, I got to go. And he went in there. We didn't see him the rest of the night. By the way, side note, had become extraordinarily hot, like drop dead model hot, drop dead Viva La France or whatever the fucking bitch's name is, hot, very attractive.
Don't talk shit on my Le Grand Dame.
Le Grand Dame, man, might be one of the most beautiful queens ever walk on this show.
She is ethereal beyond recognition, yeah. I think.
So anyway, but he was that level hot, right? And I was like, oh my God, Lance, right? And my friend who had kind of in a high school way dated him briefly, he was like, I think he was really upset to see me. Right.
Wait, was he not gay?
Not in high school. When I say they dated, it was like holding hands.
Sure, sure, sure. Okay, yeah. Just getting some context.
Yeah. So then, years later now, that same friend becomes a noted constitutional attorney and did some work on TV and behind the scenes on Prop 8 on going to Supreme Court. So when the Supreme Court overturns on Obergefell, when that happens,
uh-huh.
he writes her a note on Facebook and says, you know, I just want to say thank you so much for everything you did for us and blah, 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 blah. And I you know, yada, yada, yada. And so she writes to me and she goes, oh, my God, Lance is gay. And he wrote me this nice letter. And I go, oh, send me his Facebook. I want to add him on Facebook.
No.
I message him and he blocks me. And I go, you know what? I think he saw me as a bully. I never saw the relationship that way.
It's certainly possible.
Yes. And I've brought this up multiple times. The 30 Rock episode where Tina Fey uh-huh. gets invited to a reunion and she thinks that she's funny because she was bullied. And then she shows up to the reunion and it turns out she was the bully.
Yeah.
And I think that's me. I'm starting to come to terms with it. Because even now, I wish I knew Plasma because I would bully her so hard. It would be so fun to bully this Plasma, right? Anyway, I'm not...
She's a third of your age.
I'll still bully her. I don't give a shit. So, she's not a third of my age. Fuck you. She's like half my age. She's half my age. So anyway, here's the thing. Now I want to get to you. Why are the mean gays gay? Thank you. Oh, wait a minute. Sorry. Why are the mean gays mean?
Well, it's
as a mean gay.
I won't address that component of your accusation, but I think it's verbatim what you said, I don't know, 10 minutes ago when you said that the oppressor or the oppressed becomes the oppressor. Like, there's so many examples of people who, while being bullied or subjugated to abuse or any other sort of, you know, negative experience, instead of empathizing with other victims, have decided that they're going to reclaim that power for themselves and then navigate the world with the only power structure and dynamic that they know how the world is constructed around. And so in order to feel secure, they put themselves on top to make sure that they're the ones who aren't being run down verbally, socially.
Do you know mean gays?
Of course. I know tons of them. Most gays are mean. I find it really interesting a title to sort of put on people because I think that everything operates on in-groups and out-groups, and anyone who's ever on the out-group of an inside group of friends, whether or not you want to define it as a clique of mean gays or a clique of friends or something that you're not a part of, you're going to use terms that sort of, I don't know what the word is, deride those people as lesser than you because you are trying to justify your exclusion from that group. And so people who aren't a part of a certain group, I don't know, aren't fans of it.
Now, here's what I'm going to bring somebody into this conversation. And I've only known this person for a few years. You've known him a big part of your life. I have never, and this might surprise people, I have never seen Christian be mean to anyone. And I bet you a lot of the audience thinks Christian is a mean gay. And I have never, and I'm being honest, Christian has never said anything mean about anyone I know behind their backs. I've never seen him in person be mean to anybody. He's been mean to me, but
Sure.
But I've never seen him treat anyone disrespectfully. I've never seen him be dismissive of anyone. I've only ever seen him be, and I think, again, a lot of people, I get it. He's obnoxious. He's annoying. He's a lot, right? He makes your ears bleed. I get it all, right? But and maybe Robert has a different take. I've never seen him be mean to anyone. Have you?
I can see why.
Now, you've known him a lot longer and at different times in his life. I only know him as, you know, a tired old twink, you know, who's now 30.
I would not say that I've seen Christian be mean in the way that I think the term mean gay is overused, if only because it's really hard to encapsulate who that actually covers and what behaviors that condemn you to that label. You know, like Christian does not really behave in a way that's calculated and exclusive. He's actually very friendly. And if you talk to him at the bar or club, he will welcome you into the fold quite quickly. He doesn't have, in my opinion, I don't think he takes visual cues as an excuse to judge someone harshly and therefore dismiss them. I don't think he does a thing where he only has hot friends because it makes him feel more attractive. Like, to me, those are things that mean gays do. I don't think Christian does those things.
No, in fact, again, shocking information. I've never met a friend of Christian's I didn't like. Well, you, but I've never met any other friend of Christian I didn't
other
like.
Yeah,
other than you. And actually, if I'm being honest, too, when I when Jay and I hung out with your friends at High Tops, they were all very nice, too. None of your friends were mean.
Most of my mean gay friends live abroad for their own safety.
Interesting. 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 All right. Well, let's leave this. I'm sure we will revisit this topic many times this season.
No, I mean, I have one more point to that, which is probably unfounded, but I think that I definitely say harsh things, and I absolutely know that I look very mean. I have really heavy eyebrows, and I have really squinty eyes that are overactive, and I like to scowl. But I don't know. I ran off with Christian. I don't like do those socially manipulative tactics to elevate my own standing. And therefore, I don't really consider myself a mean gay in that perspective.
I've met mean gays. They've been mean to me.
I wish a gay would be mean to me. They're hilarious. I wish they would. You just have to play the same game if you want to engage at all. The smarter thing is to not engage at all.
Have you had mean gays be mean to you?
I've certainly had mean gays try to be mean to me, and I've been involved in a lot of cliques that could probably be construed as mean gay cliques.
As everyone guessed.
So, by virtue of that, yeah.
All right, let's get to the topic at hand now. Robert and I are going to talk about UK versus the world 2. I told Robert, I go, I think we'll make it to 30 minutes, and now we're not even hitting UK versus the world 2 until the 30-minute mark. We're going to talk about episode 1, we're going to talk about episode 2. Did you have any big thoughts? I know you didn't take notes. I didn't take notes either. Any big thoughts on the first episode, which was the variety show? I'm glad they didn't call it a talent show. The variety show and the runway, I think, was like Queen, the represent your country, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
Any big thoughts on that episode?
If I may, Adele turning tables on you.
Yeah.
What did you think about Mayhem?
That bitch should have fucking gone home. It was, and let me tell you this. I'm going to tell you something right now.
Did you not laugh? Are you not being honest with me?
Oh, I laughed at how pathetic it was. But what I want to talk about is how she kept saying, like, I laughed. And so I forgot the rest of my set. There was no other set. She wrote three jokes and thought, oh, I'll just wing it there. And then got in the moment and said her three jokes she memorized and was like, I got nothing. And she never had anything. She should have got. I was actually very worried. I was very worried the entire time that they were going to send home this gothy Ken doll. And I was going to be so angry because I was like, gothy Ken doll was objectively better than Mayhem. And her performance was so embarrassing. She should have gone home and she did.
Yes, but we know that you also want to watch her OnlyFans content, girl.
Gothy? Oh, I've seen it. So let me tell you, why she should have been plugging her OnlyFans like nobody's business. I've actually subscribed for a month. I'm going to tell everyone the thing. Look, she has a giant penis.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And actually, you do get sex scenes with her. I don't know if she still does. The month I was there, you got sex scenes with her. I think usually with her boyfriend, sometimes they'll bring in a third. She is just as emotionless and charismaless on her OnlyFans as she is on the show. So really, the value of the porn scene depends on the bottom, who's writing that fucking... It is, if you've never seen it, it is shocking how big that dick is for how little she is.
I personally need a storyline to, you know, bring me to fruition. So I guess it wouldn't work
for me.
Yeah,
there's no storyline. I'm like you. I like a storyline. I even like I even love more a stupid storyline. Like a not in front of my salad storyline.
Bro.
You know?
Well, I mean, Not in Front of My Salad was funny once, but then they tried to capture that lightning in a bottle 10,000 more times. So
yeah, but there's one actually with what's the name of that straight boy and all the gays like him? He's kind of white trashy and
Reno Gold.
No, he's gay. Johnny.
Oh. With the bitch with the
Johnny, what's his last name?
I think he beat his wife.
Yes, he beat his wife, 100%. I can't remember his name, but you know who I'm talking about. Johnny whatever.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
I want to say Johnny Rivers, but it's not Johnny Rivers. Something like that, though. And another twink who was working on it at the time. And there was this Men.com scene where they played like giant
rapid
dolls that came to life. And so the guy opens the crate and they're like, come out, they're nude. And they're like, we are sex dolls. And then it was the dumbest thing. And I ate that shit up. I fucking loved it. There's another one, another stupid one on Next Door where there's this guy and his grandfather is like, oh, there's a handyman coming. Can you let him in? And he's attracted to the handyman and they have a whole montage. And then they get back in the house. He's like, oh, grandpa, I asked the handyman to stay for dinner. And then they're in the other room and the grandpa's cooking dinner and he's in the other room and they start fucking.
They love that. I think it's the exhibitionism, right?
Yeah, but the grandpa's just like cooking soup and never sees them.
Does he not join in? Because you know that stepdad porn is so passé now. They've evolved to step grandpa porn.
Oh, really?
I think. I kind of stopped watching porn a couple years ago.
Wait, you don't watch porn anymore?
I mean, I'll still put it on every now and then if I want like a nostalgic moment that, you know, culminates in, but it's just not my thing.
Wait, but hold on. Are you on this weird nofap thing kind of?
No, nonsense? Not at all. No.
You just use memories or something?
No, I'll just either go on Grindr or I'll figure it out myself.
But when you're on Grindr to like actually have a one-on-one hookup or like just to like.
Both. Sometimes the verbal trading is enough.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Maybe it's to their disappointment, but that's Grindr.
I've done this recently, past month or two, and I didn't make a big deal about it. I don't think I've talked about this on the show. It's not a big deal. I went back on Grindr.
Oh, welcome back, girl. Bienvenidos.
But it's really just out of curiosity. And so I, you know.
Did you upload a picture?
Oh, yeah. Everything. Everything's
work, girl.
There, right? And what's really funny is. When out here in the suburbs, I get nothing. But when I like nothing. And then, by the way, it's not, I'm not looking, I don't want what's out here, if I'm being honest with you. I'm kind of flattered that I don't get anything.
You might be surprised.
This is the desert. But the second I go like to downtown Los Angeles or anywhere in LA, I'm in downtown a lot for the Alamo Draft House. Girl, it is so ego stroking. On this, after a movie, I'll turn on. There's like 50 fucking messages, it's great. I'm like, oh my god, I answered none of them. I have no inclination to answer any of them. I literally just want the validation of the notification.
Yeah, I can't wait until there's some kind of psychologist who leads a reality show about being addicted to dating apps because I'll sign up for that. You need to address that at some point.
Well, I think you're like me. We both like to talk, even though I've talked to none of them. I wish there was a dating app that was like only talking.
That's every dating app, love.
Yeah, true. But look, I did them when they first came out, and then I was like, bye. And like, this might be my first time on in like 10 years, maybe more. So anyway. All right, so back to UKBW2.
So if you saw Le Grand Dame message you on Grindr.
Oh, no. That Le Grand Dame can fucking split me in two. She is so beautiful. I'm just a lot pickier now. La Grande Dame, yes. No, 100% I'm hitting her back. But you know what? There have been guys who have been like, oh my God, you are very my type. You're very attractive. And I do nothing.
Yeah, that's because you have too much option. You have a choice paralysis, girl. Pull it together.
Nope. I really do. It's just turning into a psychological thing. I really am like, this person doesn't really want it. Like, why? I'm not going to waste my time. Like, this is going to go nowhere. The person's going to see what a horrible human being I am.
Your inner saboteur.
I'm like, cue the sniper, girl, because my inner saboteur girl wants to take me for a twirl.
For a twirl.
Yeah. But UKBW2, why are you avoiding that topic?
I'm not. I'm just shooting the shit with you being dumb. But I adore UKBW2. Messed up all those letters, I think. But regardless, it's my current It's my favorite current airing season, which is strangely a high bar because I do love España All-Stars as well. And season 16 is not bad by any means.
Your favorite judge, whatever her name is.
Don't talk shit on my girl, Anna Locking.
I didn't say shit. What's her name, though?
Anna Locking.
Anna or Locking. Anna. By the way, the Javis can do whatever they want to me, too. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, I mean, they don't do anything on the panel, so at least they do something.
I don't like when the tall one's blonde, though. Only when he has dark hair. Okay. I don't like blonde, even though my last two boyfriends are blonde.
Well, we're far off the track, girl.
That's because you keep taking it off the track. So let's go to the next episode. Episode 2, they have a ball challenge. The ball is what, like the princess ball or something? I don't remember what it is. The fairy
More or
tale
less,
ball?
Yeah, the happily ever after.
The happily ever after ball. It's for people who don't watch it, it's literally a paint by numbers of a ball challenge. There's really nothing crazy happens, but I don't have any hot takes on it.
I worry that she was one of my top picks going into the season, but Kate Minaj has really not given any kind of element of a storyline whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know if that's the editors not or producers not creating one for her, or if she's just not giving them enough to actually manufacture one. But she won this episode, top two rather. But you wouldn't have guessed that by the edit. She was hardly there, which I think is a shame because she's so fucking talented and so interesting as a person. But the show is not providing any further.
I didn't watch Hall in season 2. Was she good in there?
Yeah, she was the front runner until she got eliminated against this girl who brought a cell phone, Vivaldi. And then they found it out because the winner, Vanessa Van Cartier, called her out. And then there was this whole to-do. But because she had a pre-existing relationship with Fred, the host, when Keita and Vivaldi lip-synced, she told Keita to sashay away.
Oh, I remember that. For some reason, I had put that on Spain. Wasn't there something similar drama in Spain?
No, but in Thailand too, Mocha Diva got eliminated. And then she said, I just want you all to know that one of the queens brought a scooter and that was not a part of her look. So then I can't remember the queen who brought the scooter, but she was eliminated as well. It was a part of the presentation.
But wait a minute. Wasn't there a thing where like the former makeup artist of, I want to say it was Spain, was then a contestant? Or was that same Holland season?
I think that was the same Holland season, but I wasn't that deep in the lore. Maybe it was Vivaldi herself, actually.
Yeah, she had been like, I don't remember. There was, and someone I'm sure will, trust me. What's that internet rule? If you want to find out something, say something wrong or something.
I don't know what that one is, but I remember listening to an episode recently where you were trying to figure out the internet rule where if you say something, there's certainly a porn attached to it. That's rule 34, Josito.
That's so funny. Did I say that on a recent episode?
I don't know how recent it was, but I listened to it in the car fairly recently. So
I was just telling my cousin today because I saw it on Twitter because, you know, J.D. Vance, I don't know what I saw it late at night. So I don't know if this was proven or disproven. But someone wrote on Twitter, Rick Wilson wrote on Twitter that J.D. Vance was caught looking up dolphin porn. And then he quoted Rule 34. And so I was like, what's Rule 34? And I looked it up. I'm like, oh, is that what that's called? And then, yeah. Okay. Any other thoughts on UKV Dub 2?
Just that I know that this is so vague, but mm-hmm. I love it. And I will love when we get to give more dedicated time to it where we're not crisscrossing over all kinds of silly
but
subjects.
But that's just us. That's always been us, Robert, I know. Because we're the mean gays.
Oh, my God. I don't think I'm that mean. I don't think I'm that nice. Don't get me wrong. But I don't think I'm that mean.
Robert Mata. Joe Batanz. They go to West Hollywood and they judge. Everyone walks by.
Everyone judges.
Robert's a mean gay. Doesn't matter what he might say. And Joe Batanz is too. He'll read you too. Filth in front of you. I could have thought of a better line. Anyway, well, Robert, let's call it a day there.
You're even right. I have some twink to go talk shit on.
Oh, who?
I'm kidding. Could you imagine, though?
Oh, I really do. Don't even get me started on Jeremy.
Oh, well, that's your own little personal World War III.
No, Jeremy and I are getting along fine. Except he got me hooked onto this Danganronpa. Speaking of, I have a Danganronpa theory.
Okay.
But I don't want to get too into it. And also, why has no one made Danganronpa into a movie?
They've probably tried, but I imagine it's something that's in developmental hell. It's hard to condense and crystallize its main themes into something, you know, digestible in film.
Well, I'm only like halfway through the game, so I'll know more. Thank you. All right, guys, we'll see you guys next week.